This is part two of a Bible teaching by David E. Ball, titled El Elyon.
David knew how to play. He knew the differences in those facets of the Godhead and recognized that from certain facets there would be a certain area of interest. And listen, friend, after this is over tonight, you're going to say, without exception, what you and I have seen tonight, the pattern is exactly the same in every scripture. The patterns are established. But we haven't seen them before. Why haven't we seen them before? Because God did not want to start a new religion until now. So he didn't send the Holy Ghost to shine the illumination of the Holy Spirit upon these facts until now. Well, then, if we're seeing them now, what's the extrapolation of that thought? Okay. Yahweh is the God of the sword, battle, struggle. That's why David appealed to Yahweh. Yahweh is the God of also law and punishment. You will not find El Elyon talking about law and punishment. Well, I just described your denomination again. Everything about your group is law and punishment and condemnation. Come on, you Christians. Because our concept of God, Psalm 46:4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of, watch it, Elohim, the holy place of the tabernacles of El Elyon. The city of Elohim is Elohim's city because Elohim created it, because Elohim is the creator God. But all things are possessed by... Now, you didn't catch that, so I'm going to do that again. All things are created by, but possessed by, El Elyon. Do you follow that? So the pattern still holds. Psalm 47:2. For Yahweh, El Elyon is terrible. He's a great king over all the earth. I happen to believe, and I think I proved to you that Yahweh was... No, I cannot prove to you, in this case, that Yahweh was inserted. But we know for the fact that El Elyon is the only king over all the earth. He's the possessor of heaven and earth. The king of all the earth. Yahweh had to have been inserted by the Yahwehists when they were writing it out. Now, at this stage, I want to caution. Always say El Elyon is the Most High God. Never say Yahweh is lesser than El Elyon. I'll do a little more of this, so you grab this and you'll never make a mistake. Always magnify God by ascribing additional attributes to Him. Never minimize God by saying one nature is lesser than another. Mm-hmm. That's all. But all scriptures say, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. You know what I'm talking about? Never, ever relate. Don't allow your mind to ever get in this trap of thinking that Eloah is less than Elohim. No. Elohim is more than Eloah. You didn't catch that? No. Let's do it another way. As you continue to work up, you magnify. As you come down, you diminish. Never come down. Always go up. I'm going to do that again, and I'll show you some scriptures in a minute. We never say that Yahweh is less than Elohim, because it takes a Yahweh to have an Elohim. I don't know whether you caught that or not. It takes a man to have a couplet, the creator. But you couldn't say Yahweh is more important than El Shaddai, because it takes two to tango. I'm going to do that again. I don't think I got that all the way across. Don't ever allow your mind to think that anything down here is lesser than anything up there. Always think that everything up there is more than that which is down here. You didn't catch that again? Magnify the Lord. Add to Him. add to him, add to God virtues, add to God experiences, add to God natures. Never say that the nature of El Shaddai, never allow your mind to think that the nature of El Shaddai is less than the nature of Elohim. Don't think that the female is less than the family unit. Don't ever allow your mind to think a female is less than a family unit. Because it takes a female to make a family unit, don't you see? So, if you're going to think in that term, think this way. A female added to a male makes a unit. You see what I'm doing? Now we're adding two. We're magnifying and we're getting bigger. Don't think of divorce. Don't think of littleness. Don't think of minimizing God. Always, when you speak of these terms, add to. Don't take from. I may maybe have to do that two or three times to get this point across. However, in the teaching realm, it's very difficult for me as I describe attributes. You understand this. And so there will be times when you're going to think, well, that's less than this. Don't think that way. Think that's more than that. Let your mind keep adding to. Never let your mind think in terms of less than. I hope that I'm clear on this, and I'm going to come again and again until you all are with me on this, because this is vital. If you ever start the less than thinking, then you're not going to be an El Elyon. You will not be a priest of El Elyon if you start the less than. You must start thinking adding to, magnifying, getting bigger. Never think about being less. Okay. Psalm 50:14. Offer unto Elohim thanksgiving. I'm going to do that again. Offer to Elohim thanksgiving and pay thy vows to El Elyon. Now this is another one that I think is important, so I'm going to do some more on it. Paying of vows is in what realm? When you give a vow, when you pay your vow. I made a vow to God that if he, on and on we go. If he would do this, I would give him that. A present. You remember that weirdo in Judges that said the first thing came out of his door he'd give to God? Jephthah. Oh, that weirdo Jephthah. Do you not remember the story? And he said, give me the victory and I'll give you the first thing that comes out of my door. And you remember what it was? His daughter. Yeah. He made a vow and he paid it. Tells you in the book of Judges. If you don't remember it, it's there anyway. And excuse my expression, but he was a nut. But he paid his vows. He vowed it and he paid it. You vow in the what realm? You vow with a physical, temporal, earthly object. You understand me now? You can't pay a vow by singing a song. Did you understand this? Lord, if you do this for me, I'll sing a song. No. A vow, I will give you something of physical value. Nod your head if you follow me on this. All right, so, when we pay our vows to, did you remember? Offer unto Elohim your thanks and pay the vows to El Elyon, because everything in the physical realm is toward, you got it. Psalm 56:2. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, El Elyon. Now, you're going to have to go into the context of this verse, and I've already done it. David's request was for mercy, not victory. The context proves it. Mercy is associated with El Elyon, and victory in battle is associated with... All right, you did it again. David's request was for mercy, not victory. Psalm 73:11. And they say, how does El know? Is there knowledge in El Elyon? This refers to foolish people. And they said, how does El know, and is there knowledge in El Elyon? Now, if you don't remember the first scripture I gave you, Balaam says, you hear El, you know knowledge of El Elyon, and you see visions of... You didn't remember, so I better do that again. Now, in this scripture here, he's coming with the same pattern I want to impress you, my friends, that from Genesis to, I was going to say Revelation, it's really Hebrews, but from Genesis to Hebrews, this pattern is consistent. Now, he told you in Balaam, you hear El, you have you know knowledge of El Elyon, and you see visions of El Shaddai. So, when he's talking about here, he says, how does El know? Is there knowledge in El Elyon? Because knowledge of El Elyon causes you to be a prophet in the kingdom of God and a priest of El Elyon. However, the foolish people, verse 3 in that psalm, were the ones who made the mistake, and they said, they imply there is no knowledge. Psalm 77:10. There, it was their mistake. 77:10, write it. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of El Elyon. In verse 9, he applied to the mercy again of El Elyon, not victory. Are you hearing me? Victory is through who? Yahweh. Mercy is from El Elyon. Now, Jesus was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek was a priest of El Elyon. So therefore, Jesus could walk up to a woman or have a woman brought to him and say, neither do I condemn thee. But you can't do that under Yahweh. You cannot do that. You cannot answer sin with no condemnation. Now, let me do that again. All of us, it's been taught and at least implied that whenever you meet sin, you must condemn it. For if you don't condemn it, it means you've approved of it. They've taught you that. The Elyonish concept. Jesus did not teach that. He said, neither do I condemn thee now. Go and sin no more. Now, what's the difference? If you meet anyone with a great need, it's because they have sinned in one realm or another. Now, if you will relate to that person and say, I don't condemn you. I love you. I accept you. I know how you got that way. But let me show you a better way. Let me give you power. Let me impart to you something better. Now, go and sin no more. Then you can counsel that person. And they can receive you. And receive your counsel. That's the reason for the failure of the present structured society. For they cannot relate to the person where they are. And they bring stones of El Elyon. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm sorry, not stones of El Elyon. Stones of Yahweh. Hear what I'm trying to say. And so they stone them like Moses said. Instead of bringing the El Elyonish concept of mercy. I've been, you know, just giving a few like that. But listen, you're hearing answers tonight for some questions that you haven't even articulated yet. And some of the questions have been working over in your mind and your heart for many years about what's going on in church. You're hearing the answers to tonight. Now, when you meet Jesus Christ and he covers all past sin by the blood of Jesus, there's nothing to judge. God looks at the page. He says it's covered by the blood. I don't know anything bad about him. So judgment cannot come through Jesus Christ or through the El Elyonish concept, but judgment does come upon the earth that won't accept it.
That's what I'm wondering. It's heaven and earth. And judgment's coming
on the earth. But I don't want to relate to judgment of Christians. But don't you see? The judgment on the earth has been picked up and run with the Yahweh's concept on Christians. You didn't catch that. So that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to show you over and over again that as a Christian with the blood of Jesus, the word judgment means nothing to you anymore. But what happens is, just as soon as you trip and fall, the structure society will judge you. Because they'll say you're not a Christian. Now, the truth of the matter is, you are a Christian in your heart, Jesus in the heart, but you are becoming in the soul mind, and you're going to be in the body, you see. That's the reason. Well, they can't relate to that. There is no way that you can teach these concepts to someone with a Yavesh. There's no way. They just cannot do it. Because their concept of God is so different. Their God does things differently. But don't you see? Abraham's God did things differently. Now that didn't go over, so let me try it again. Abraham would have been stoned for doing what he did under Yahweh. How about the way he treated Sarah? Come on. You remember, how many have wondered about how he got away with a thing like that? Why did he get away with it? Because Yahweh was not his God. He's only held accountable for what he knows. And who did he know? El Shaddai. Don't you see? And El Shaddai did not give him any laws. Where did the laws come from?
Yahweh.
So he couldn't be held accountable for Yahweh's laws because Yahweh was not his God. Uh-oh, you didn't catch that. Can you extrapolate it? Can you project it? Then if Yahweh is not your God... If Yahweh is not your God, you can order a BLT. Does anybody know where I left off? 77:10. All right, 78:17. And they sin yet more against him by provoking El Elyon in the wilderness. Did you hear that? Now, when they provoked El Elyon in the wilderness, what was it that they said? They said, can God provide a table for us in the wilderness? What realm? You got it. Physical. They said, can God provide a basket of groceries for us in the wilderness? Tempting him and provoking him in the realm of physical, you see what I'm getting at? Earthly, physical, temporal things. And the answer was, of course God can. And the word was El Elyon, though it says God. Can God provide? Can El Elyon provide? You tell me, can El Elyon provide? Did El Elyon provide?
Yes.
But they tempted him. Now, that may not make sense, so let me try it again. How many of you have had tempting children? How many of you have had children? Now, what does a tempting child do? You won't get me those nice things that the other kids got down the block. Come on. You wouldn't get me those nice things for Christmas. That's tempting. And that's squirming. That's tempting God that, or tempting the daddy that he, to not do what you said. You follow me on this?
Uh-huh.
Now he said, can God provide a table? Tempting God to not provide the table. Do you see what I'm talking about? Now, how many know that people, there are people here today, not in this class, but others, who will say, can God heal today? It's exactly the same thing. That you're tempting him not to. You see it? Provoking and tempting. Oh, all right. Psalm 78:35. They remember that Elohim was the rock and El Elyon their redeemer. Now remember, the study is not on Elohim, the study is in El Elyon. But as we study El Elyon, we find his relationships. And what is it? Elohim was their rock stable creator. El Elyon was their merciful redeemer. We will see scriptures that show Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, was the son of, you got it, say it, El Elyon. Because the Redeemer comes from El Elyon. And how do you redeem? What do you redeem? Well, when you redeem anything in the physical realm, you buy it and rebuy it and purchase. And our Redeemer, El Elyon, and his Son, Jesus Christ. Psalm 78:56. Yet they tempted and provoked El Elyon and kept not his testimonies. I've gone through that one before in the concept, at least in other verses. But notice in verse 55 that the inheritance and tents were the subject of 56. And inheritance and tents are what realm? Physical realm. Psalm 82:6. Write it down. Psalm 82:6. And this one I'm going to spend a lot of time on, so after you've written it down, Set your thing aside and give me your full attention. Psalm 82:6, I know you've heard it before. You heard it in John 10 when Jesus said, ye are gods and the scripture cannot be broken. You remember that? Huh? You remember that scripture? You are gods and the scripture cannot be broken? Did Jesus tell him that? All right. Now we're going to get it in this original. I have said, watch me carefully, ye are Elohims. And all of you are the children of El Elyon. That makes me feel religious. Glory. You are Elohims. You're creators. You're creators. And you're the children of El Elyon. Psalm 82:6 tells you who you are. And the scripture cannot be broken. Now, Jesus didn't finish the last part of that verse. His use of that verse had to do. Jesus referred to this verse in the Old Testament scripture on the occasion when he was threatened with stoning by the Jews, John 10:30-38, because he had said that he was the Son of God. His works, creations, proved he was the Christ, the Son of El Elyon. Jesus was an Elohim creator, proven by his creative works. Gabriel told Mary that Jesus shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the word highest means El Elyon. And Jesus would receive the throne of David. Throne of David is another reference to physical, earthly, temporal kingdom realms. You see that? So when we find this El Elyon, we find the El Elyon thinking in terms of physical things and doing godly things on a physical earth. Over and over and over again. I hope that I'm not boring you, but I must get them all out here. Okay. So the next time you run across that scripture about your gods, now you know your Elohims, your creators. And as creators, you were created by El Elyon. That's what it says. El Elyon created creators. Psalm 83:18. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Yahweh El Elyon, over all the earth. I'm suggesting Yahweh was inserted by the corruptors. And it should read, that men may know that thy name alone is El Elyon over all the earth. Why? Because Yahweh is not over all the earth. El Elyon is. And I believe that you understand that the denominational concept. Push that thing. Psalm 87:5. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. And El Elyon shall establish her. If you're going to establish anything in the physical realm, like a city, a manufacturing plant, an oyster shucker, then it has to be through the power of El Elyon, because El Elyon is interested in oyster shuckers. Now, this is a personal thing here, but you know what I'm talking about. Flip along here. 91:1. Oh, this is a favorite of mine. And you're going to see some new things here. How many remember the 91st Psalm? He that dwelleth in the secret place of... Uh-oh. You got it. He that dwelleth in the secret place of... El Elyon. Now, this is going to be a twister, so hold on. Shall abide under the shadow of El Shaddai. The secret place is the feminine part. And I'm moving very quickly now. Psalm 91:9. And if that's too advanced for you, remember that there are secrets that are still secret. 91:9. Because thou hast made Yahweh, which is my refuge, even El Elyon thy habitation. This connects El Elyon with protection over dwellings, verse 10, deliverance from any plague. Now I'm going to say that again. In the event that you need deliverance from a plague, from a bubonic plague or some other physical malady, Who do you think it is who delivers and heals for the physical realm? You got it. Who's interested in your body? Who brings healing? Who brings, I guess you'd say, heavenly health? Or if you want to know what to eat and what not to eat to maintain health, then you direct prayers to the aspect or nature of God that has already shown interest in that realm. You see what I'm talking about? And Jesus did.
In Psalm 91, verse 9, could this have something to do with tabernacles, the Most High thy habitation?
Yes. It has a lot to do with the Feast of Tabernacles.
So this again says El Elyon is connected with tabernacles.
Yeah. Right, has to be. But you have to, you see, I didn't want to get too much into that because you have to understand the secret place. See, when you build your booth, you withdraw from society and you set up your booth, in a sense, secret from the corporate experience. You have a family experience away from the others in the tabernacle experience. The pattern is there. The etymology is there. It's all there. 92:1. It is a good thing to give thanks unto. How many have sung that song? It is a good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises unto the name El Elyon. The pattern is continuous. You give thanks to Yahweh and sing your praise to. Now, you didn't catch that again. It is a good thing to give thanks unto Yahweh and to sing praises to the name of El Elyon. Yahweh is a name of God, and also El Elyon is a name of God. Also see Psalms 7:17, 9:2, 50:14. This is for the tape. Articulate speech is to Yahweh, and singing speech goes to El Elyon. Just over and over again. 92:8. But thou, Yahweh El Elyon, art forevermore. Submitting that Yahweh was probably stuck in. But El Elyon art forevermore because he became a priest after the order of Melchizedek through the power of an endless life. Now you're going to see something. Endless. Ages of ages. Evermore. Forever and ever. Constantly. Over and over again. This rolling concept of overcoming the last enemy, which is death, always is ascribed to El Elyon, the evermore, the constant, being El Elyon. 107:11. Because they rebelled against the words of El and condemned the counsel of El Elyon. That's going to be hard. You'll just have to hear this within the context, and I've already studied it. Those in darkness and in the shadow of death condemn the counsel or advice of El Elyon. Everybody caught that or not? If you're in darkness and shadow of death, you are going to condemn El Elyon. You're going to condemn his counsel. You're going to condemn his knowledge. You're going to condemn his nature because you're ready to die. Conversely, every reference to those who overcome the last enemy, which is death, is always a reference to paying attention to the counsel of El Elyon. Knowing, having to know knowledge of El Elyon brings you into life. And to refuse the counsel of El Elyon, to refuse the nature. You see what I'm doing now? Well, now, if you heard what I said, not only have I told you how to get it, but I've told you what to stay away from. Because they rebelled against the words of El and condemned the counsel of El Elyon. Psalm 107:11. To condemn the counsel of El Elyon, I'm going to prophesy, there will be people who will hear this message and condemn the counsel of El Elyon. And who are they? Say it. And what is their destiny? A heavenly reward. It's all here. It's right out. There's no argument. To refuse El Elyon brings death. To embrace El Elyon brings life. Isaiah 14, oh, by the way, that's the end of the Psalms. Now I'm going to jump over to the next reference in Isaiah 14, and of all places, verse 14. Whether we caught that or not, Isaiah 14, 14. A very interesting scripture having to do with Lucifer, son of the morning. Do you remember that scripture? And Lucifer, son of the morning, said, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like, you got it, El Elyon. Now, here's the trouble. And at this point, for those of you who have not been standing with us, please do not get mad at me. I'm going to tell you some things that you do not agree with and you do not believe at this stage. If you haven't been with us, I'm asking you to take this stage and set it on the shelf. It may be someday you might want to get it down and use it. Do not badmouth it. Do not badmouth what I'm going to say next. Our studies indicate that Lucifer was Adam. I'm not going to try to prove it. I gave you 2 hours of that a while back. Not Satan, as often taught. As such, his goal was to have what? Eternal life by eating of the tree of life. But his destiny was to die because he ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Okay. Now, what's he saying? He knows. Now, this is going to be hard for those who have been with us, but Adam knows where life is. And he uses the word correctly. Do you understand what I've said? I have been going through this Bible and the patterns are absolutely consistent. They do upset at times our theology. Lamentations 3:35. Lamentations 3:35. This is going to be a hard one again. Yahweh, watch me, Yahweh does not afflict willingly by turning aside the right of a man before the face of El Elyon. Doesn't make sense. You can expect fair treatment from all facets of the natures of the Godhead. Now, that didn't make sense. Now that does. And Yahweh is not willing to afflict you. But he does. And Yahweh afflicts before the face of El Elyon, but not willingly. I don't know whether you caught that or not. We're going to get into some real deep ones in a minute to prove that. Lamentations 3:38. The last was 3:35, now I'm on 3:38. Here's another one that's even harder. Out of the mouth of El Elyon proceedeth not evil and good. Only good comes from El Elyon. Now, are you ready for the hard part? Yahweh created evil, not El Elyon. You ready for the verse to prove it? Isaiah 45:7, Deuteronomy 32:36-42. How many are seeing some things tonight? Good and bad cannot come from El Elyon, only good. But Yahweh says of himself, I create evil and I create good. Come on, Isaiah 4. All right. So good and bad, destruction and construction, comes from the God of Israel, the God of your church, the God of your denomination. But the God of El Elyon cannot produce anything destructive. There is no way to come out from the El Elyon with any destructive force. Now, I realize that I've said some things tonight, and I got a whole lot more to say, that would be very, very offensive to people who heard this last thing I said if they hadn't have heard the beginning of the lesson. And yet, not a one of you are offended right now. Why? Because you've heard it line upon line and you've seen. I just told you God created evil. And you didn't jump. You didn't fuss because you know it's so. You know the Bible says. But then I showed you which one. And when I showed you which one, it made sense. And you said, sure, the pattern's there. I knew it, but I couldn't articulate it. Now, how many understood what I just said? Good. I'm going to read it again. Lamentations 3:38. Out of the mouth of El Elyon proceedeth not good and evil. It's only good. Out of the mouth of comes. If you don't believe it, he says so right there. He gives it to you in your Bible. Now, most people are not really ready to deal with this. But how many of you have wondered and have run across that scripture in Isaiah and wondered about it? Tell the truth. Now you don't have to wonder about it anymore, because now you know what aspects, what facets, what natures to expect what action from. And there's no real reason to minimize or say there's anything wrong with God, because don't you understand? Many, many times it's necessary for God in His goodness to create a destroyer. And so Yahweh created the destroyer, so that the destroyer would destroy, not Yahweh. But He did create it. Did you understand what I said? Because a lot of times we need in our life the destructive power to get rid of the bad. To bite you on the Achilles heel. Remember that lesson? Okay, so He did it. But not El Elyon. Don't you see? So then, if you're dealing with a problem of life where you need surgery, would you pray to El Elyon?
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.